Are you on YouTube? Because that's expected.
Yeah,
You start.
it's like when you go to a MySpace page, you expect a song to play. Right? What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 138th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SBJ, and with me today I have Will.
And I am now the proud owner of a Greymon Digimon Digimon Fusion New Frontier CCG deck, so I'm ready to take on anybody.
Anybody in the world.
Yeah.
And our other fellow Digimon trainer is Travis.
Switching gears to Pokemon for a second. I
Who
think
cares
that's
about
one,
that?
At one
Digimon,
point what the show is supposed to be about.
Digimon are digital monsters.
We've already lost.
Digimon
all
are the champions. So I've realized that I think at this point, I'm disappointed by the severe lack of Diancie puns. We've known about Diancie for a while. New legendary Pokemon revealed. So I thought I'd just throw some out there and like ask you to, fellows, what you think. Here's my thought. It's been a while since we've had some episodes, so maybe I could say Diane seems like it's been a while since we've talked like this.
No.
Yay or nay?
Nay.
Yay or
nay? Nay.
All right. What about this new movie series I'm doing? It's The Diancie Hard series. We got Diancie Hard, we got Diancie Harder, Diancie Hard with a Vengeance, and Live Free or Diancie Hard. Is that?
It took me like 5 minutes to even understand what you were trying to say.
Yay or nay? Yay.
Oh, yay.
All right, we got one. All right, and the final one, say the best for last, you know. Diancie clearly now, the rain is.
Oh, God, singing.
So good. Travis, how long did you rehearse this before?
I realized, oh, wait, I'm supposed to record a podcast in 5 minutes. What joke can I make? Diancie's a word, so.
For all of the Italian listeners, it's C. Naples and Diancie.
Nice.
You guys don't
nice.
Even know. Whatever.
I'm lost in my pokey puns. Welcome to the show, guys. If you are a new listener, we are the best, worst Pokemon podcast in iTunes. And how our show normally works is we run down some news, we take a quick musical break where you will hear more of Travis's singing. And no, I'm just kidding. And then when we come back, we talk about some kind of feature topic, and then we take another quick break, and then we do Pokemon of the Week. So let's just jump right into the news. We have just a little bit of news for you guys today. The first bit of news, I don't think there's much to talk about here, but the New York Toy Fair took place just a couple weeks ago, and we found out that the USAopoly, people who make Monopoly pretty much, they are reprinting or making, they didn't really clarify what they're doing, but they are... Right. Making a Pokemon Monopoly and a Legend of Zelda Monopoly. Those are their two licensed Nintendo products that they will be releasing this September. And that's pretty much all we have. But
well, yeah, actually, if you look at the board for the Pokemon Monopoly, it's Hoenn. So obviously that's confirmation that Hoenn's coming back.
Let's just talk about how great it is that you can say Pokemonopoly.
I mean, yes.
Like, how many... Okay, because you have to, like, have the... There's so many, like, awful Poke blank things. And, like, the Poke-etch. I don't even know what that means, Gen 4. Please explain to me what that is even a portmanteau of. There's like Poke Dollars, but like Poke Monopoly. That is a legitimate play on words, a pun, or as I say, I think we should start calling them word turds, as I mentioned on Twitter. But I mean, Poke Monopoly, amazing. I'm all in.
If I'm not mistaken, they in the official press release, and you can see some of it on our website, PokemonPodcast.com. Look at that plug. In the release, they did say it was going to be based off the Kanto region.
Yes, I was joking. I was making a humorous comment.
Oh, I laughed at the joke. The real joke is if it's going to be a new version of Pokemon Monopoly or if it's going to be a reprint of what we've seen before, which came out in like 2002 or 3. I could be wrong. I don't remember exactly when Pokemon Monopoly originally debuted.
Wait, I got two comments here. So the police officer isn't Officer Jenny that sends you directly to jail if you land on that spot?
No.
That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's still the standard Monopoly dude that was in the original.
And it costs $45 for Monopoly? What are those pieces made out of, gold?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're paying for the license, right? When I bought the
I'm paying for a board game. Yeah, I'm paying for a license.
Each Pikachu game piece is covered in a really densely packed mouse fur to the point where they have to kill 10 mice just to make the one piece. That's how densely packed this fur is.
Do you know how much you can buy a mouse for in a store? It's like 2 cents. My snake is hungry. Give me $1 worth of mice and they give you a box. Don't tell me that.
Well, I mean, you didn't let me get to the part where they have to kill leopards for making the Lipard piece.
Nobody likes leopards anyways.
I recently bought a version. Let me put it out there that I absolutely hate Monopoly.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's the worst because people consistently play it wrong. That is the main reason why it's the worst
game. Well, it's also just the worst game. It is extremely boring. Steve, I believe you and I are actually on record about this on the RTM podcast, Read the Manual.
Oh, right. We talked
a long time about how awful, awful Monopoly is.
It is. I did buy a copy of Monopoly, a specific TV show version of Monopoly, and it was like, I think it was $45 or $40. It was quite expensive, and I have not opened it for the sake of not getting it ruined. And
is that like a Simpsonopoly?
No, it's not the Simpsons. I'm not going to say which one on the show here. Yep. I will upset some people.
Ooh, but, Digimonopoly.
Oh, God, that was real. But I do plan on buying this just for a collector's aspect. You guys, any interest in purchasing, even though at least Travis hates Monopoly?
Monopoly's the literal worst.
You buy it? Would you buy Poke Monopoly?
No. Monopoly is the literal worst. Even if, and it is, Pokemon is the best, you take the best and the literal worst and you end up with just an average experience. Why would I do, if there were like Pokemon Carcassonne, Pokemon Power Grid, Pokemon...
Oh, Power Grid is the worst.
Oh, Power Grid's so good.
Get out, Will.
It's so good.
Get right out of town.
It's so good to play at 2 a.m. in a dark hotel.
Okay, so this is what I'll say about Power Grid, which probably applies to Monopoly as well. I spent $50 on that piece of crap.
What? Where did you buy it from? Like, you bought it from
millions of dollars worth of fun out of it.
From the game store. And that's, I opened up the manual and I was like, wait a minute. This manual is like 200 pages long.
Well, yeah.
I'll never be able to play this game.
Just think about how great a deal that is. Like 200 pages divided by $50. That's less than $1 per page of the manual. How much game you're buying.
I will agree that Power Grid's manual is pretty terrible.
It's a pretty complicated game though, too.
It is.
Like it should be a longer manual to like clarify like tiny rules.
Anyways, to answer your question, Steve, I won't be buying Pokemon or as it's actually called, Monopoly Pokemon Edition.
What?
Because I have enough crap in my house, and I have no friends to play games with anyways.
That's the true fact here about board games. They are the worst hobby to ever get into. One, it's expensive. Two, it takes up a lot of freaking space in your house. And three, friends are unreliable and sparse in my area.
When it comes to board gaming, like, okay, right? True life, Steve, right? We want to play a game, me and you. So what did we do? We each bought the complete game. So that company got $60 out of us so that we can both sit in our own homes and play it over the internet.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, what is this world coming to? I have neighbors I don't talk to.
Yeah, it's rough. And even if you do, this is why board gaming is a terrible hobby, but I love it so much. Even if you do get set amount of people over to play the game, then the problem is you have to teach it. And if one person isn't willing to learn or doesn't understand the rules of a game, which most of these
because they're dumb, right?
Because they're dumb, and the side of the box is ages 8 and up, and they still don't understand, and they're 25 years old. And you try to teach them this game, and they don't get it. It ruins the entire experience. Just stick to video games, kids. The computer is smarter than your friends, and we know this.
Yeah. Not that bravely default.
Not that bravely. This is our rant. Moving on to other things we can complain about. The Cocoons of Destruction preview appeared, which is the first film of that is including legendary Pokemon in the Kalos region. And that trailer appeared, and it's in Japanese, and you can see it on our website right now, or you can search it on YouTube.
Isn't it just the first Kalos movie?
It is. General? It is, but the I was just reading the first sentence of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So explain, it's like Ash and, is it Shauna? Who's the girl? Serena and Clement find a swimming pool, and when they swim in the swimming pool, they feel younger and more vibrant? Is that what it's about?
What? I don't think I got that from the trailer.
Oh, whoa! Wow, a Cocoon reference. I never thought in my entire life that anyone would feel like it would be necessary to make reference to a film where old people walk into a pool and are no longer old.
I would say that I'm too young for this joke, but Travis clearly got it.
It hit me like a bus. What is Will talking?
It had Wilfred Brimley in it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Guttenberg when he was like attractive. Oh, well. Some people will appreciate my Cocoons of Destruction.
It's going to be literally me.
You know, it is a tie-in to X and Y because, right, the stones on the way to Geosenge Town where they had absorbed the life of the Pokemon, and that's where all the Pokemon burial ground was and all that kind of stuff. It's just like Cocoon because they were sucking the life out of those aliens. Anyways, everybody...
I mean, spoiler alert.
Everybody, go watch Cocoon. Awesome movie. If you like Wilfred Brimley in his prime.
We just lost Will.
I said Wilfred Brimley in his prime. Before he got the diabetes.
Oh, man.
That's a shout out to Andrew. All right, go on.
Okay. I don't know where I can go from there. In the trailer, it showed two Mega Pokemon, Mega Absol and Mega Scizor, battling. It also shows some Diancie running from what we don't know yet, what I would assume to be either Yveltal or Exerneas.
Or a Cocoon of Destruction.
That's true.
Or Yveltal and Exerneas, possibly.
Do we think that we're going to see Butterfree's and Beedrills in this movie?
Beedrill, maybe, because that's actually a Kalos native Pokemon, but not Butterfree. No Butterfree.
All right, confirmed here first. No Butterfree.
Bivolon.
Wait, is there a Butterfree? No.
I don't think so.
No.
Bivol. No,
all right, moving on to Lumos City confirmed for the 3DS version of Super Smash Brothers.
All right, who cares? Next.
this was interesting how they announced it. So they didn't actually confirm it for the Wii U. They only showed a screenshot of Lumos City, specifically the Eiffel Tower, which I believe is called the Prism Tower in Kalos. So they showed a screenshot of that, and then they showed two screenshots, one of Pikachu and one of Exernius, and then one of Lucario and one of Palkia. But those are Wii U versions, so I'm assuming that Pikachu is your playable character. Did they confirm Lucario as a playable character?
Gosh, did they? I think there was some... I think so. Did, yeah, they did. No, they definitely did. I remember everyone talking about Lucario, and I thought it was funny because Lucario is my least favorite Pokemon.
Okay, ever. Can we? Lucario is a piece of garbage. But anyways, can we take a step? My poor 5-year-old, 6-year-old nephew is like crying now because Lucario is his favorite. But anyways, can somebody explain Super Smash Brothers or whatever this Smash Brothers? I've never played it, and I don't get it.
Oh, really?
What's the point? Do you smash? Do you smash things? You break your Wii and your 3DS. You just smash them.
Exactly. No. So it's obviously there's a whole bunch.
Who
of
Who are the Smash Brothers? It's not Mario and Luigi, obviously.
The Super Smash Brothers is like the Nintendo character roster. They're smashing together.
Are they all brothers?
Well, the joke is that it's not Super Mario Brothers. It's Super Smash Brothers. They're not actually all brothers. It's just
brothers. So there's no brothers.
I mean, well, Mario and Luigi are both in it.
And if
Jigglypuff... Well, I'm the original. Was Luigi in the original?
I don't think so. I want to say no.
Regardless.
Does Wario have a brother?
Yeah, he was Waluigi.
Waluigi.
Well, are they brothers? Is that confirmed?
My Mario lore is not what it once was. Regardless, Super Smash Brothers is a video game.
Not a video game.
Wherein 1 to 4 players face off against each other. I guess with the 1, you'd be against computers. But, You're put into an arena and has a whole bunch of characters from different Nintendo games and things like Pokemon that are like second party things within Nintendo. And it's sort of a fighting game, more like a brawler, I guess. The more damage you deal, the more violently you're knocked back by the next hit, and the goal is to knock someone off of the stage.
And the more damage you deal.
Yeah, like if you get like punched, you like take like 5% damage. And so if you keep getting punched, that percentage raises. And then like once you're at 200%.
You know, start at that life. So you pummel and then you launch, you smash them off the stage.
This sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in
my
entire life.
One of the best video games.
So what's the story?
It depends on which one you're playing. The first one really had no story. But the last
did
one
an
had,
evil wizard like teleport you into this mystical land of smashing to accomplish some purpose, nefarious purpose?
There's some sort of like very vague idea that all the competitors are like figurines that have come to life and are fighting each other that are all controlled by this gloved hand.
Glover.
Well, most people call him Mr.
What, Glover?
Mr. Hand? Master. Well, Master Hand.
I was just making a... Glover was a very bad Nintendo 64 game that I was just making fun of. I have a very different opinion about Super Smash Brothers. I loved it when I was a young lad and all my friends would get together and play it, and we would also be playing Mario Kart and other games you play on the couch. And
with friends.
With friends.
You have friends.
Yes. And As I will say that I'm getting Super Smash Brothers because I have a Wii U. I don't plan on getting it for a 3DS because I feel like, to me, that's not a portable game, and I want to be sitting on the couch with three other people and be playing this game. And I know that's not going to happen on the Wii U because I've had a Wii U for over a year, and I've only been in one situation where I've had three other people sit on a couch with me and play, and that's not going to happen with Super Smash Brothers, and that's the best thing about Super Smash Brothers. And so that makes me very not excited to play it because I know that's not going to happen, and that's the best way to play it.
Right. And I mean, like the online is a thing now where you can play against people online, which isn't as fun as playing with your friends, but
further isolation of America's youth.
Yeah,
but Steve, is the real problem that Smash Bros. Isn't fun, or is the problem that your existence is a lonely, solitary one?
Yeah, you know, it could be the latter there. Absolutely.
Travis, you want to know something real? Something true life, true story, real
Not
talk?
Not really. No.
Now, listen to this. On Skype today, I told Steve that you can't get hugs over the internet.
That's true.
See? That sums it all up right there.
Yeah,
that's true. The interesting thing about this article is how they announced the Pokemon. It was actually announced on Miiverse from the creator Sakurai. Is that how you say his name?
I think that's right.
Look at that. He just had three separate Miiverse posts that announced that this stuff will be in the game, which is, I guess, kind of cool. I'm going to give you guys one more opinion about Smash Brothers. There's two ways to play, Will. There is where you play on these crazy stages, like the Pokemon Stadium stage in the last game, that would change. It would be like a normal gym, and then it would change to like a rock gym, and all these rocks would come out of nowhere. And then it would change to like a little garden, and there would be a windmill and water running. Really cool, because it would change every 2 minutes.
Rest in peace, Pokefloats.
Oh, yeah, there's Pokefloats, too. And then as you're playing, swords and bombs and Pokeballs are dropping, and you pick up the Pokeball and you throw it real fast and you hope like something good comes out so it can attack everyone but you. And then sometimes you get a Goldeen that comes out and nothing happens.
Wobbuffet and yeah. No one hits him.
So that makes Super Smash Brothers super exciting and super fun. And then there are the people who are super serious about Smash Brothers and play on the most boring stadium in the world and turn off every single item. And I just don't understand the appeal because at its core, Smash Brothers is not a good fighting game. Like Street Fighter or Virtual Fighter or Killer Instinct, like those, or Marvel vs. Capcom, those are like fighting games. And Smash Brothers
I think
like,
Melee, I think the second install, I think Smash Bros. Melee was a much better competitive game. Because of all of the strange things that were added into the game, like there's all these elements of like they're not glitches. They were programmed into the game so that you would use them, I guess. One example, it's called L canceling, where let's say you're playing as Link and he does this down an A and he'll be in the air and he'll go like he probably makes like a hi-ya! And then falls down sword first on someone. If he misses, his sword is down into the ground and he has to take a while and lift it out. If you hit L right before he does that, the animation of his taking the sword out of the ground is twice as fast. So there are all these other things about like wave dashing and other things that I don't know what they are.
Somebody should make a really boring podcast about this really boring game. And they can call it Smashball or something, and go ahead and talk about
that,
Smash.
Is that we're recording an episode this week?
Sure you are. That's the second funniest thing I've heard all day.
The first was your own cocoon joke.
Yeah,
Wilford Brimley.
Travis, you're right because that was the time where that was around the time where Mario Kart DS came out. And well, a little bit after, but in Mario Kart DS, they added like snaking,
yeah,
which was where you're drifting, and then when you get out of the drift, you drift the other way real quick, and you keep drifting back and forth. And what you could do is you could also sandbag. So what a lot of people would do sandbagging is where you purposely stop on the track and let everyone pass you, and then you grab an item, and because you're in last, you get a really good item like the blue shell or the lightning bolt or Bullet Bill. And if you were good at snaking, you would snake and increase your speed to catch back up into first. So then you would have the best item while in first, and then you would hold position, and if anything happened, you would still have an advantage. And a lot of people considered that cheating or not fair, but it was clear, just like in Melee, they put these little things into the game for hardcore people.
Brawl, the newest one, Brawl, has a little less of that, and a lot of people don't like it for that. But honestly, I enjoy the game casually more. Like, I'm not good at the game competitively, so I don't do that. But apparently this next one is supposed to be sort of in the middle there. Because even I play it very casually, or was sort of annoyed by certain things. Like, your character just sometimes trips in Brawl.
I didn't know. Like,
they'll just fall on their face if you turn sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't play Brawl that much. I remember the first week it came out, there we would have people always over playing Brawl, and then it just went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that it was because of the Wiimote and the nunchuck, and because everyone.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's awful. You have to play it with a GameCube controller.
Yeah, which is like, last generation hardware, perfect.
Mm-hmm. So really, to sum all of this up, you can play possibly the stupidest game ever in the possibly worst Pokemon location ever devised in the game of Pokemon.
You don't like Wiimote City?
My left eye goes one way, my right eye goes the other, and I flip it, and I'm like, oh, I'm on the north side, oop, I'm on the south side, yeah. Oop.
Well, it is very confusing. Apparently, in Smash Brothers, you're going to be able to fight on top of the Prism Tower.
Because that's been a dream of mine forever.
I know. They've tackled that.
Finally, it can be done.
It can be done. The last bit of news, which is nothing like our other news, is a blacksmith named Tony Swatton. Apparently, this guy makes weapons from stuff like Skyrim or The Hobbit or Final Fantasy. And apparently a lot of hardcore sword people also like Pokemon. So they told him that he should make a Hone Edge because he's made swords from other video games. And so he did. And that's on our site right now. And he makes a honedge out of steel. The video is like 5 minutes long. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting, actually, except for the end is a little corny. Because, I mean, Travis said earlier before we started recording, obviously, this guy doesn't know Pokemon very well. Except when he's talking, he kind of does. But then the execution at the end kind of shows that
he
doesn't.
He says something, like, you can tell he doesn't really, like, it seems like what happened was a lot of people suggested in the comments that he make a Honedge, and he probably doesn't actually play Pokemon, so he just, you know, he did it because people wanted him to, and he, like, looked up the design and stuff, which is really cool. I mean, why would I expect a random YouTube blacksmith to know what Honedge is? It's cool that he did it. It's just funny to hear him refer to Honedge as Honedge's sword. Because that's just it. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But the ending that you're referring to, he gets a bunch of, I guess it's only like a few, he gets some like Pokemon YouTube personalities, like the J-Wits, and I don't remember who the other two were, to use Honedge and like dress up as Team Rocket or whatever, which is pretty corny.
Yeah, it was a little corny, but...
I thought the J-Wits was funny, where he's like, you ready for some HMO1? And then he cuts the thing. But that was a good one.
They cut like a pitcher of lemonade at one
which point. Which was weird. Is that like a common thing?
I mean, it shows two things, Travis. You can cut both glass and lemons at the same time.
Can you cut water? Let's talk about this.
Obviously, the sword is very sharp since they were able to cut said items.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did its job in wanting me to watch what other swords he's made to see what else he can cut.
I watched the one where he made Sephiroth's, what is it, the Masamune or whatever, because it's like a ridiculous, like, 7-foot sword.
And he's like, what are you talking about?
Did they cut
from Final Fantasy?
Did they cut lemons?
No.
They cut a watermelon. That's all I really remember. I remember him saying, Sephiroth's sword would really have no benefit in actual combat. It's just too long. Yeah, of course.
Was it heavy?
We can see.
Was it heavy? I remember when he's making...
It's like 7 feet long.
I remember when he was making Hone Edge, he said that like he had to trim a lot of the handle, otherwise it would have been too heavy.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like a 7 foot long sword.
Interesting.
So, pretty long. Maybe, I don't even know. How long is that thing? I just said seven randomly.
I don't know. Well, that's that. This is the, I don't know if it's like the TV show or if it's the blacksmith factory. It's called Man at Arms. Maybe it's just the TV show or YouTube show.
I think it's just a YouTube show. That's the name of his YouTube show.
That's pretty cool. I mean, obviously they're hitting a market of people who both love video games and both love swords, which I guess isn't really that weird. Cause if you go to like a Comic-Con or like a C2E2, if you go to any of these events, there's always like swords in the corner or like leather hats or steampunk stuff. I guess it goes together.
Do you think swords are steampunk? Do you know what steampunk is?
Yeah, right.
No, they're always across the aisle from each other. So like, if I wanted to, I could buy a sword and then walk across the aisle and buy some gears.
But
and then glue
those. Do you think if you kill the steampunk, Steve, I want you to describe
if you were to purchase and wear steampunk garb, what would it be? I want to know what you think steampunk is.
I would first roll all my clothes in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And take a bunch of glitter and then sprinkle those on, because obviously the glitter would stick because of the mud. And then I would take a bunch of hot glue and then start gluing gears on everything. And then to be even more steampunk, I would glue gears onto those gears.
So you're just being a cling clang.
Yes.
It's just, you think that steampunk is just cling clang.
Cling clang is steampunk, Travis.
Well, he got it mostly right. It's all of that, and then you put goggles on.
Goggles, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have your goggles on. But not your Digimon goggles. More of like your Tom Cruise aviator goggles.
Maybe Digimon was the original steampunk.
I mean, they did have gloves.
Thought about that.
Yeah. And they had freaking black gears flying around turning people evil.
That's true.
Whoa.
That's true.
Mind is blown.
Digimon is so good.
Wilford Brimley.
In his prime.
Digimon in so his good. Prime.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll leave you on that steampunk Digimon spoiler, and we'll come back and talk about some other stuff that could or could not be Pokemon related. And we are back from our break to talk about Pokemon. More specifically, I went to a state tournament over the weekend to play the Pokemon trading card game, the CCG collectible card game. And I went with Irene, and I went with my friend Kid. And the last time I played Pokemon was... Last time I played Pokemon competitively was over a year ago.
Wow.
And I went to Madison, Wisconsin, about an hour away. And I'm just going to tell you guys my day because it was pretty funny. And it's pretty Pokemon related. So it goes together. I was given a deck by Kid. I was given a Rayquaza Emboar deck with a Delphox in it as well. So it was kind of cool. And I was a little excited to play it because I really like Delphox. He's no Froakie, but He's pretty cool.
Well, no, because he's actually a useful card.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I think
because Froakie is the best Pokemon.
And I don't think Greninja's
besides
card
Piloswine, besides Vanillox.
So we drove all the way out to Madison. We were late because Irene was doing her hair, and we left 15 minutes later than expected, and we were actually 2 minutes late for the tournament. So we all got first round losses. A good way to start off.
That's not what I read on the internet. I read on the internet that the boys got to play and Irene got a first round loss.
Yeah, that's true. I was getting to that. So when we walk in, I see somebody who I haven't seen in a year, and I was told I get a first round loss by them, which is awesome. Good to see you too. And we talk to somebody else and they say, nothing we can do, first round loss. And then kid sees somebody who really likes him, or who has talked to him a lot before, and was like, oh no, we'll fit you in. And that was pretty cool. And kid, since kid was paying for me, since I, there's now an entry fee to play if you're a master in Pokemon, you have to pay $20 to play at like a state tournament. Since he was paying for my entry fee because I drove there and back, he was able to squeeze me in as well, so we didn't get first round losses. But that's okay, I lost my first round anyways. And I played a couple games. I ended up, so Pokemon Now does this best 2 out of 3 at bigger tournaments. So it's a 50-minute round, and you roll a dice or flip a coin to decide who goes first. You play a round. If you win, the loser then goes first. You play another one. Loser then goes first again, and it's the best 2 out of 3. So if you win 2 matches, you don't have to have a third. They also do this thing where if they call time and it's the third match, it's pretty much an automatic draw for both players, even if one player was clearly winning during that time, which is also a little weird. Because prior to this, if you were winning and they called time, whoever has taken the most prizes, whoever's in the lead, would just win. And I'm not sure why exactly they do this draw system now. I think because Magic does it.
Okay.
But I don't know. I just feel like if you're winning the third game, it's really disappointing to get a draw, because 50 minutes for 3 games doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, and actually, yeah. One thing that's also a little confusing, because that's hugely confusing, especially to people who haven't played for a while and come back in, the fact that if it's not a complete game, it's not a game. But also, if you only play one game in the 50 minutes, whoever's the winner of that game is the winner.
Yep.
You don't have to win 2 games.
So it discourages slow play, but then
again, I was going to say, does that make people just make really fast, consistent decks, or really gimmicky slow decks?
Yeah. I always used to run like lock decks and slow decks when I played at other tournaments. So it would always be bad for me because my deck would always take so long to win. And I was playing a pretty fast deck, and everyone I was playing that day also played pretty fast decks. But the first game I felt like always went super fast, because I don't know if there was that, like, it's okay if I lose the first one as long as there's enough time for me to win the second one. But like there was a match where I lost the first round, I won the second round, and I was like, the second game took way too long. So, and I started off really bad for the third round. So to me, I was like, why don't I just play slower? And then it just gets drawn, because I don't think I can
maybe
win
a tie,
this.
Yeah.
I don't think I can win this.
This is a huge gripe of mine now, and we'll probably have to talk about it some other time. But because now people have a huge incentive to call a judge and say, hey, this guy is slow playing, like intentionally playing slow to draw out the game because they're holding on to a win, where that's a huge disincentive for inexperienced players to get in, because obviously people who haven't played competitive in a tournament situation are going to play slower because they're not comfortable and they're not making quick decisions and, you know, more instinct based decisions. So it's just like, I find it, you know, offensive almost, because it really is another one of those things that pushing the people who just want to play for fun out of the tournament scene and just leaving the, I'm not even going to use the word I want to use, in the tournament scene, which drives out people like me who are just doing it to have fun, right? Yeah. But we can talk about that more some other time.
Yeah, the coolest thing about the new setup is, like, when I was at Nationals with you guys, and Travis, you were there, and you were playing the video game, and your matches would go, you're like 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And I would play a round of Pokemon, and it would take, you know, a half hour, and then you would end up waiting like 45 minutes for the next match. And that day, which was super exhausting, because we would start playing at 9 a.m. and we wouldn't finish till like 6 p.m., it was like I played 7 games of Pokemon, and like if you get donked, if you get knocked out right away, you played for 30 seconds and now your match is over and you got to wait an hour for your next match. So at when we were all together and playing and we would meet up, it would be like Travis would play like 4 rounds of the video game and it was like, well, I just played 2 minutes of the card game and I got knocked out. And today I've only played 7 games total, which is cool. I got to play Pokemon and I lost, which is no big deal because I like to play for fun as well. But in the new structure, I played 7 rounds, at least 2 games every round. Some of the rounds I played 3. So I played almost 20 games of Pokemon in a lesser time than I did at Nationals. And I won as much as I lost. And I played a lot more, and it was more fun. And it didn't feel as draining as it was at Nationals, where like, oh, 5 minutes later your match is up, and now it's like walk around and think about what I did wrong. Whereas like if I lost, it was like, all right, let's play again because I just had a bad hand and now I can have another chance of winning. So that's really cool, if that makes any sense.
It does.
I'll be the judge of that.
and it was really cool to like get back into the game and see a lot of people that like I had people come up to me and like say like, oh, it's really glad to see you're playing again and blah, blah, blah. And that was really cool. But at the same time, the biggest gripe I had with the TCG was playing, was just interacting with the individual across from you. And that hasn't changed. And the people that I hated playing over a year ago are still playing, which is no surprise, but it's not like anything has changed. It's like I re-entered the same situation, time zone, if you will, the same
Dimension,
yes. I was going to say Inception, and I was like, that doesn't work.
No.
The same dimension that I was playing before, so it was, and Will can probably speak for this, because Will is a much more novice player than I am, but like, you always...
Well, I'm more active in the current playing, though.
Right, yeah. But like, you play for fun, and I play for fun, but I do like to win, and I feel like I'm regarded as a pretty decent player because I've sat in the top charts before and I've made top cut before.
Well, hell, I'm still in top 3 in DC.
That's right. 3 out of 3, right?
Yeah.
But it's like to sit. So like my first round, the guy was pretty nice. We were talking about where we were from. That's usually like your standard Pokemon talk. He was like, how long did it take for you to get here? How late were you up last night? How long have you been playing? Those are like the 3 TCG questions you ask somebody, and it was fine. It was good. Like, I won round 1. He won round 2. We're playing round 3. I like did a risky play because I thought I like that was my best opportunity, and the risk didn't pan out, and he ended up winning. And at the end, he was like, oh, by the way, I could have also won this way if you would have done this. And it was like, you were pretty cool until now, and you just had to like.
Yeah.
Step on my hands and rub it in that you would have won no matter what. And it was like, I feel like that's not needed at all.
Yeah. You know, can I throw something down that's going to angstify and aggravate thousands of people out in the world?
Please do.
Okay. That one basic phrase for everybody to learn. There is no such thing as a professional Pokemon player. No one is getting sponsorships to play Pokemon. No one is making enough money from tournaments to be called, you know, to make a living off playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
So the next time I see something out there on the internet or whatever where somebody says, oh, I lost to a casual and it sucks because they're not a pro player and blah, bull, you're all casual players, friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, there are professional Magic players. I don't know. Travis, you probably know this, right? There are people who get paid to play Magic.
Right. Just like there's a bunch of people that their job is to play StarCraft 2, you know?
Like, yeah. But yeah, like it really aggravates me when there's people who are like, oh, that person should have should have what is it called when you like quit?
Scoop.
Scoop. That person should have scooped because they're not a pro player and they really didn't have any chances of winning. So they should have just scooped to the pro player. BS. If you're such a pro player, then beat the stupid casual player.
You know what's super funny is like Jason Klasinski, who won Worlds 3 times, probably one of the nicest dudes you'd ever play in a match.
Oh, and you know what? And when I was at Virginia Regionals, dude was 2 tables down from me when I was in the middle of the sort of rankings. He just was having a bad day, and you know, he was perfectly fine. Yep. He wasn't being a dick to anybody.
Yeah, he was super awesome. I do want to, what was really cool is that Kid and I, we played like 4 games the night before, and that was the first time I really played in quite a while. And I played just a couple decks because I'm just trying to get a feel for the new format. And we gave Irene her deck in the morning. She didn't want to play at all. She didn't feel good. And so she's never played this deck. She hasn't played longer than I have. And we told her how it worked. We told her what cards were in it. I had her write her own deck list just so you have that little memorization of, okay, you wrote down what cards are in it. So it gives you a better idea of what you have to work with or what you think you have to look for while you're playing. And she won her first 2 games. And then
what deck was she playing?
She was playing Genesect Virizion.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy win, though.
And she did really well for not playing in a year. And, like, I wouldn't say I made any mistakes in any of my games. I took a lot of risky plays. But besides the first two people, the first person I played was all right, like I said, to the end. The second person I played tried to cheat like 4 times, and I was just like, come on, man. Like, he like played an energy down and then he tried to move it back, and he's like, you don't mind if I do this, right? And I was like, yes, I do mind. You played it to your active Pokemon, like you can't take that back. And then he would shuffle, and like he would take a card out of his deck and not shuffle, and I would have to like call him on it and be like, hey man, you didn't shuffle your deck. Oh yeah. He just did really sketchy plays, and it's just like, if you're gonna cheat at this game, like, don't play.
No, I know, right?
Right?
It's like, freaking Pokemon.
Like, if you're not good at the game, like, no insult to you, man, but play a game you're good at. Like, I don't understand. I did have a match with this one dude, and he was, I don't know if he was having a bad day or if he just didn't care, but I never laughed so hard during a match. We were both making each other laugh. We were both, like teasing each other about our plays and everything. I ended up losing. He won the first game very quickly, and then we had a second game where I just steamrolled him, and then the third game it was really close, and we were both like debating if we should just tie. Like, why would we even continue? We're not going to finish. But he was able to draw the one card he needed and won. But man, I haven't laughed that hard in a long time with another Pokemon player. So, like, that's the cool part about the trading card game, is to, like, to sit with an individual that you have something in common with, a complete stranger, and have a great time.
Yeah, that's playing it right.
Right, yeah. And he absolutely was, and he was awesome. And I told Kid on the drive home, I was like, that was probably one of the most fun tournaments I've ever been to, because not only did I play so much Pokemon in one day because of the new structure, but like I met a couple people that were really actually cool, opposed to just playing like one jerk after another jerk, which you normally see at like nationals and stuff. But then I told Kid, like, I was like, I don't think I want to play this game anymore at all. Like, even though this was like the best time I had playing Pokemon, and I did pretty well, like, the environment still hasn't changed that much. Like, the rewards really aren't, not that I'm playing for rewards, but the rewards aren't really that great. Like, the investment in cards is still just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I was playing with Rayquaza Emboar. Kid had 3 Tropical Beaches, 2 that he bought for me a long time ago when I bought Tropical Beaches. And I bought those cards for, both those cards were $85 each when I bought them. And he was running 3, and I just checked eBay after the tournament. Because apparently these cards are impossible to find now. And Tropical Beaches are like $150 online.
Yeah.
So to make this deck work, you need $350 in 3 cards.
Well, no, I know. And like, I just like I was telling you earlier, I bought a box of the XY set and I didn't even get like the non-full arts of some of the EXs. And I know with other TCGs, if you buy a box, you are like guaranteed to get all of the commons and like all of the rares. Maybe not a full playset of the rares, but you'll get all of them. And with Pokemon, it is really just like completely random. There's no level of guarantee in what you're going to pull at all.
Yeah. And so... So as much as fun as I had, and like, I mean, I will probably go back to a tournament if somebody has me a deck and I just happen to be off that weekend and I'm not caught up, but it's a rough game to play. Like it's hard to explain and it's hard to like convince somebody to like spend X amount of dollars to get in when, I don't know, when like, I mean, if you love it, that's awesome and props to you, but it's hard to love it after being in that environment, leaving, and then coming back to that environment and for it not to change.
Well, it's also, it just seems to me like the people who would be interested in doing that are already doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't play the TCG, not because I don't like Pokemon, but because I would rather play Pokemon, I would rather play the video game than the card game. And if I played the card game, I'd have no one to play with. There is no one in my area who plays it, and I think that's not an uncommon thing. Like, if I wanted to play, start playing Magic again, that'd be something I could do. If I wanted to, I don't know, like, start playing Pokemon, I couldn't even, like, get, I could, like, rope my friends into it, but that seems like so much work. So I would go to, like, tournaments or something. So if I were interested at all, I'd already be there.
Yeah. And you would have a small investment already committed.
Yeah,
to said game. But Will and I, actually, I was talking to Will after the tournament, telling him exactly what I just told you and all the listeners. But we're switching over to, we're going to try Netrunner, which is made by Richard Garfield. He originally made Magic the Gathering, and then he made this other card game. Now, both Pokemon and Magic are CCGs, they're collectible card games. Netrunner is an LCG, it's a living card game. Which is like a term they coined.
Yeah.
But what that means is they come out with an expansion pack. I think it's called an expansion pack. I could be wrong. But they have a core set, which is $40, and it comes with 5 decks. And then they come out with like an expansion pack every 2 months, and it's 60 cards, three cards of each, so 20 sets of 3 cards. Yeah. And it's like $15. And then that's it. And then they do that every couple months. And when you buy it, you get the same cards as everyone else.
Yeah, they're not collectible. You buy the expansion, everybody gets the same cards in the expansion.
You know exactly what's in the expansion. So if you don't need any of those cards, you just don't buy it.
Yeah, they're called sub collections is what they're calling them.
And then, yeah, I think like once a year they do a big box, which again, the most expensive thing is $40 and everyone gets the same cards. So it seems really cool. I think we both get ours tomorrow. And from what I heard is the community that plays this is extremely nice and extremely welcoming. So it's almost like a social experiment for me to sit with a different group of people that and I don't know if a lot of listeners know this or if you know this, Travis, but a lot of people who play Pokemon competitively don't even like Pokemon.
Really?
Oh, it's true. It's true. They don't even know what the Pokemon are. They just know what the cards do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would argue that 40 to 50% of people who play just because of the structure of the game and not because of the theme. And so that's frustrating in itself. So I'm very curious to see to try a different card game because I'll never play Magic or I'll never play Yu-Gi-Oh, and which are both popular games. I know we give Yu-Gi-Oh hate, but the card game for Yu-Gi-Oh is very popular still.
Yeah, very.
But I'm curious to play Netrunner with a group of people that I've never seen before and see if what I hear online of this community being very friendly and welcoming. Will, you played Vanguard. Was that a different kind of those people?
Doing? Well, I mean, I still play Vanguard. I was at a Vanguard tournament on Saturday. Vanguard is, you know, the best way I can describe it, it's halfway between Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, where it's like a diverse community of people. The gameplay is more like Yu-Gi-Oh! But the best thing about Vanguard is the most expensive card you'll ever come across is $25. And they never rotate anything out. So the cards from the first set that they ever came out with are still valid and still used in decks. So, you know,
that's
if you especially...
That's how Yu-Gi-Oh! Works as well. But I think, like, the way that's how Yu-Gi-Oh! Works, too, where you can use all the cards from when it came out. I think there's, a ban list of cards you can't. But, I don't know, it seemed like in, you know, like, middle school when I played it, that... The newer ones were just better.
Well, no, Vanguard does the same thing, except, you know, 20, what is it? It's maybe like 30% of your deck is going to be made up of what they call triggers. Uh-huh. And those triggers, there's four triggers. They haven't ever come out with a new kind of trigger.
Oh.
So heal, critical, draw, and stand. Uh-huh. So... you know, they can make cards so that you can have more of a certain kind of trigger in your deck, but there's you know, still, you know, that large portion of your deck is going to be made up of some combination of triggers, and then the variation for the newer cards comes in what you put in addition to those. Mm-hmm. But there's also like perfect guards, which you can only have four of anyways, and you know, you have the four original ones, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, they changed some of those mechanics over time, but still some of the earlier decks are just fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, people's biggest complaint with Vanguard as opposed to Pokemon is it does rely more on the luck of what you draw when you do what's called a trigger check. So there's less deck manipulation where, you know, with Pokemon, you're frequently going back into your deck and looking for specific cards. You don't do that very much in Vanguard at all. You just really much rely on what you draw off the top of the deck when it's time for you to draw. But either way, there's lots of different card games. Digimon is obviously going to take the world.
The Digimon card game. There was the My Little Pony card game.
Oh, I still play that, too.
Hearthstone.
Now, Hearthstone's not a real card game because it's only internet. But I have every... I literally have every starter deck for the MLP game. And the MLP game is a lot of fun. But... I was in the card shop on Saturday and somebody said, how much is Nightmare Moon? Any guesses?
I would say 120.
150.
Ooh.
Wow.
For one card.
That doesn't surprise me just because of that fan base of how dedicated My Little Pony fans are.
And you know, it's kind of funny because for me, the My Little Pony card game is more... Like, the Pokemon game is for other people. I watch the cartoon, but I'm not a huge My Little Pony fan. But I really like the card game. I like the gameplay mechanics and everything that goes along with it. And I really don't care that much about the actual characters.
Yeah, the card game of My Little Pony is what got me to start watching the show. Because I played it at Gen Con. We had nothing to do, and we found out that two of our friends really liked My Little Pony. And so it was kind of like, at first we were joking about playing it. And then when we found out they actually liked the show, we were like, well, we have to play it now. So we spent our $8 to play the card game. And I was like, wow, this is actually really cool. Like it's so different than Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when we got back from Indianapolis, we watched the show and we're like, it's not bad. Like, this is really cool that, not to compare it to Pokemon, but to compare it to Pokemon, it's cool that, like, the TV show and the card game exist, and they're both not bad. So that's cool, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, didn't mean to have this whole segment be dedicated to card games, but it's interesting for those curious about the card game, about Pokemon card game, and how, like, that audience is so different than what you would expect when you go to a tournament.
I mean, you
do see a lot of people wearing, like, Pokemon hats and carrying around Pokemon bags and all this stuff, but then you get the people who are just there because of the core core mechanics of the game.
And I would say, just as in a positive light, if you do just want to play the card game and just play for fun, leagues are not like the tournament environment. So you can always go to Pokemon League and just have fun.
Yeah. In Pokemon League, you can always say, like, can I take that back? And usually they say yes, because it's more of a learning environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't pay $20 to get in. Cool. I think we'll wrap that segment up there. And then we have one more mini news article to cover when we get back. And then we'll do our Pokemon of the week. And we are back from our break to bring you, I can't believe we made the whole episode without bringing up Twitch Plays Pokemon.
You just ruined it.
That's what we came back to talk about. So Twitch Played Pokemon finished within a week of not our last mini show, but of the last show before that. They made it through the Elite Four, and good old Australia beat Blue at the end. An hour after I went to sleep, which was super disappointing.
Oh,
because I was working on the new site that night, and I was like watching the stream. It was on my iPad next to my iMac. I was just watching the stream, and then I was like, they keep getting stopped by Agatha. Like, they're gonna have to level for a couple more hours before they get to Blue, and that was not the case. Went to bed. Hour later, they beat Blue. From my understanding, though, and from what I read everywhere, they had almost 100,000 people watching the final battle, which is not the highest they had. I would assume if they were actually beating Blue in America time, there would have been more people.
America time.
They would have been
high noon's America time where I come from. Shoot out at the saloon.
That sound was me spitting into a spittoon.
Did you two continue watching it after we recorded? Kind of followed the Elite Four and
not much.
I would leave it running at work because I had a script that would keep spamming just democracy and then start democracy.
Wait, really?
Possibly.
What's funny is the person who made it, he would spend most of his day trying to disable bots and keep the stream running.
I will say that, please don't anyone ever praise the Helix in my direction, because I am a Dome fan and a democracy fan. So I don't want your Helix crap. You can keep that to yourself.
I love the Helix. I love it.
I sort of got bored with it. I mean, it was like, I didn't like it at first, and then I liked it for a little bit, and then I went back to my original opinion that it's really boring.
You went through all the phases of a fad right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was like, you hated yo-yos. Then you
it's Gundam
they were
style.
Okay. Then you bought the yo-yo.
Gundam
then,
style.
And then you threw the yo-yo away.
It's the Harlem Shake.
Oh, God.
It's what else we got? It's
chocolate milk. No, chocolate milk is not. Say,
it's like an enduring classic. I'm lactose intolerant. I know that.
It's like Digimon. Oh, I went there.
No. Digimon is evergreen.
Digimon was a fad.
They just came out with a new cartoon.
I mean,
it's a fad, then you're bad.
No, it's like Tamagotchi.
That's not to say fads can't come back.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
like Tamagotchi are coming back.
That's right. Or like yo-yos. Yo-yos will come back. I saw a person with a yo-yo.
Pet rocks.
Cell phones. That's a fad. Twitch Played Pokemon ended. To my disappointment, I was actually disappointed in this. I don't know if you guys were. I thought that if he started this stream again, it would be too much to handle.
Too soon.
Right. I've already dedicated almost 2 weeks to you. You can't expect me to dedicate another 2 weeks, but he did. He did it anyways. And We all thought he was going to do either gold or silver, but he did crystal instead. How do you guys feel about that? I never played crystal, so I'm...
Crystal's a very good game.
Would you pick it over gold or silver?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the main difference between from crystal from gold and silver?
You can play... it's the first game where you can play as a female character. It's got the battle tower, which was a big deal at that point because there wasn't anything like the battle tower prior to that. They had animated sprites.
So that
which
so
was the first
that was animated sprites because I didn't remember that in Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was watching Crystal, I was like, "Man, Gold and Silver did so much." But that was actually Crystal. Interesting.
Yeah. Who's the legendary in Crystal?
That would be Suicune, which is already in Gold and Silver. But it's like in Gold and Silver, Suicune along with Entei and Raikou was just a roamer. But in Crystal, it's like a guaranteed encounter that Suicune doesn't run away in.
Hmm. So can you still get Lugia and Ho-Oh?
Yes.
So I watched like a few minutes of the Crystal run through on Twitch Plays Pokemon until I realized that they had selected Totodile, and then I was like, "You doesn't matter. You could have had Cyndaquil, but you went with Totodile.
Cyndaquil
you
would have
are
been
the hugest group of morons in all existence.
Cyndaquil would have been the better choice because I think it gets less status moves than Totodile.
Yeah, probably.
Who knows?
I remember there was a chart saying, like, don't pick Chikorita because it has, like, almost all its moves are, like, sleep powder, poison powder. And it was like, this does not work well for Twitch Plays Pokemon. We cannot spam poison powder, guys. But... the first, I want to say, two or three days when they got Laser Gator and they got Prince Omelette, which was Togepi, they had 90,000 plus people watching. So as much people that were watching the high point in Red and Blue or Virgin Red was when they were beating Giovanni. They had like 120,000 people. And like I said, the only reason they didn't have more for the Elite Four is because it was like 4 a.m. Central Time when they beat the Elite Four. They had a ton of people watching the start of Gold and Silver. And then at some point, I want to say it was around the two gyms that are back. Yeah, I think it's the two gyms. It's the Ghost gym, or is that a dark gym? It could be a ghost gym where the floors are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there's the ice gym. Is it an ice gym where the you have to do the ice pattern to get up to the top?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm bad at remembering gym wars and things like that, but that sounds right to me.
Those two gyms were back to back, and that's when like everyone like lost it, and viewers were just dropping off because they couldn't like these. These were like the Team Rocket headquarters of the version, Team Rocket headquarters was like the lowest viewing point for Virgin Red, but ever since then it hasn't really picked up steam again. I mean it sits between like 16,000 viewers to 30,000 viewers.
Yeah, they're actually at 47,000 right now.
Are they?
That's 47 million views. They're at 16,000 viewers.
Wow, how do you see the viewers?
It's that red person.
That's so impressive.
Oh, it was blocked by an ad.
47 million views. I think, though, I mean, obviously, it shows that like people wanted more and still cared about it after they beat it, because the first couple of days, they still had 100,000 people watching a brand new game. But I think it was like it was my problem as well as probably everyone else's. Like, we can't dedicate any more time right now for this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like when you get a new video game, right? You play it for a week, and usually you beat the video game or you get close, you get your feel for it, and then you're done with it. And you move on to a new video game or you move on to something else. So it's very like, Twitch Plays Pokemon was like a luxury. Like, you fit it into your life to enjoy it. So to like, all right, I committed this time. It was worth it. It's done. It's over. Like, it's very hard to make that commitment a second week in a row or a third week in a row to something new. That's why I think they should have took like a month off or something. It's, especially like if you took a month off and you did like a countdown to it, or you kept reminding people that it was coming, you would have had more success in the long run than anything. Like, I guarantee if this guy takes a month off and then does Gen 3, that he would...
I will not be watching that awful. I don't want to watch Twitch play the worst Pokemon game.
Twitch battles Tentacruels. That's all it is, over and over again.
Twitch rides boats.
I think if he does the next one but takes the time off, I think that
Twitch enjoys caves.
Twitch loves water. But yeah, that's kind of sums up. We're working on
Twitch plays the trumpet.
We're working on a recap of Twitch Plays Pokemon for the website, so that should be up within a week or so. It's just under the proofreading process right now. So we'll get to that more when the date comes closer. Hopefully it's not completely obsolete when we put out the article, but we wanted the article to, you know, withstand after Twitch Plays Pokemon anyways. So even if you miss Twitch Plays Pokemon, you could read the article and still appreciate what we were going for in the article. If not, at least be a reference point to things. So we're working on that, and my voice became very serious because this article is so long. We also have some other announcements to go along with that. But with that being said, we can move into our Pokemon of the Week, which is Omastar, the evolution of Omanyte, which is revived from the Helix fossil. See how we did that tie-in there of Twitch Plays Helix.
Gotta check the Helix.
Twitch Plays Helix is basically what it should be called.
Yes. Now, Travis, we all know Omastar is a beast in battle. Can you confirm or deny this?
In Gen 5, so last generation, I mean, it's hard to say at this point because there's no real community yet around that quality of Pokemon, but in Gen 5, in the Smogon tiering, in the RU, which stood for Rarely Used tier of Pokemon, it was really good because Shell Smash is a move that it gets, which decreases its defense and special defense by 2 stages, but increases attack, special attack, and speed by 2 stages. So in one move, it's like you've gotten... A white herb, not mental. Mental herb is the one that's for like confusion, I think. Yeah. If you give it a white herb, it's going to take away that defense and special defense drop. So in one turn, it's like you have 2 dragon dances up, which can be really devastating. So if you survive the one hit or you do it while they're switching out, then it's a very potent sweet potential.
It actually has the highest special attack of any rock type Pokemon.
It's true. Probably Surf Ancient Power.
Scald?
Scald is better on defensive Pokemon because it's better because it gets the burn chance, but it does have a lower it doesn't have a lower base power. So on something where you're just trying to kill whatever comes up to it, you're better off just going Surf so that you can one-hit KO more things. And then I guess the other 2 moves, probably, I'm guessing it gets like Earth Power and then Grass Knot too.
You're guessing wrong.
Yeah, no Grass Knot on this guy.
No Earth Power either.
Oh gosh. Is there?
What was the other one? I'm sorry.
Earth Power.
I'm not seeing an Earth Power. I'm seeing an Ice Beam.
All right, let me get Ice. Oh, that's one. That's definitely one of them. Ice Beam. I forgot
what about
Ice Beam.
What about Shell Smash?
Oh yeah, and Shell Smash.
No Protect. Do you run a Protect on a?
Nah.
No, because I mean, once you Shell Smash, then you just
once you
through.
Just Shell Smash.
Yeah. So Surf, Ancient Power, Ice Beam, Shell Smash. That's definitely the set.
Ancient Power, really?
I mean, what other special Rock move is there?
You gotta get that SmackDown.
Hold on. Let me find one.
I believe it's the strongest special Rock move, unless there's some like obscure.
That's the only one that it can learn.
Unique.
Yeah, that's weird. A shiny Omastar is purple.
Oh, Power Gem is stronger, but very few things get Power Gem.
Shiny Omastar, purple instead of blue.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Let's see here. Let's see some trivia. Omastar is the highest special attack of any rock-type Pokemon. Will said that. Omastar is the only fossil Pokemon that has been given a reason for extinction. Its shell was too heavy for it to move, thus it starved to extinction. Interesting.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, all that makes me think of is Dwebble. Dwebble's pretty tiny.
Yeah.
And carries
a
pretty big shell.
Do you think it's supposed to be that, like, it's you know, it used to live in, like, shallower waters, and then its food supply went away, so it had to go to deeper waters where the pressure is higher, and at that point it couldn't lift the shell?
Well, what I can tell you is this. Your discussion hinges on the falsehood that people call evolution. God obviously made the Omastar fossil and planted it in the ground for us to find to confuse sinners into believing that there was something other than God creating Pokemon.
You mean Arceus?
So, I mean, you can tell because of the bananas on Tropius.
Exactly. Exactly. That is intelligent design right there.
So, Travis, do you run Swift Swim, Shell Armor, or Weak Armor?
Oh, I guess you do. Shell Armor is the one that prevents critical hits, if I'm correct.
Correct.
Swift Swim, obviously, you're only going to want if the rest of your team is rain-based, and still, once you get up the Shell Smash, you're going to be faster than most things anyway. And then Weak Armor, it's not, I don't think Weak Armor is that good of an ability. So I think you're best with Shell Armor to prevent critical hits, to prevent those situations where, you know, you think you can take a hit and get up a Shell Smash and then it's a critical and you die.
That makes sense. So in the grand scheme of things, are you guys Omastar fans, Aerodactyl fans, or Kabutops fans?
Aerodactyl, definitely.
Kabutops.
I would have to say Aerodactyl. I always thought Aerodactyl was pretty intimidating.
Aerodactyl was mean. He picked up Ash, and then Charizard had to be like, finally realize how much he loved Ash and then have to save him.
That's true. But, I mean, Ash did go ahead and wake up Aerodactyl from sleep.
I wasn't back paying attention to that part.
Back in the day before Team Preview, like in Gen 4, Aerodactyl was really cool because you would just use it as a lead, and it would just go first with, like, Focus Sash, Stealth Rock, Stone Edge, I think, Stealth Rock, Stone Edge, Taunt, and, like, Earthquake maybe is what people usually did. And that was cool, because it's fast enough that it's always going to
Aerodactyl isn't the Pokemon of the week.
Setting up.
What about that Mega Aerodactyl?
Are you yelling at me?
I'm just mentioning.
We're talking about Pokemon.
That Omastar is our Pokemon
Monsters
of the week.
Podcast.
Here, let me tell you about why Aerodactyl sucks. Because you're having a sky battle, and you're like, hey, we're all birds up here. We can chill and be friends. And then Aerodactyl's like, I'm going to throw a rock move at you and screw you over, Talonflame.
Yeah, and then you have a Farfetch, and it says, sorry, Farfetch, you can't participate in sky battle.
Get that stick in your hand.
Steve, Farfetch is not the Pokemon of the week.
My fault. on a serious note, how good is Mega Aerodactyl?
That already
means no. Not good.
It's not one of the best Megas. I'd say it's sort of in the middle in terms of quality of the Megas, middle to low.
What is the worst Mega, Travis? Let's call them out right now.
Mega Manectric.
Mega Manectric is pretty good, especially in doubles. I'd say either, in my opinion, either Banette, Ampharos, or Aggron.
Oh, Aggron, really?
I mean, you can have as high of defenses as you want, but you're not going to be that good of a defensive Pokemon without HP, without a good HP stat, which Mega Aggron doesn't have. I mean, you want, generally, even if you're building something to be like a dedicated defensive wall, you're going to want enough HP that it can take like at least a neutral special hit. And I mean, Aggron can, but it doesn't do anything while that's happening. Like, it can do Thunder Wave, I guess. Like, Thunder Wave, Stealth Rock. Or, like, it doesn't... It's not going to get you any kills. It's just going to, like, waste turns on a physical attacker. Because it doesn't have, like, Will-O-Wisp or something. It'll just paralyze you and, like, okay, that's cool. I mean, you can, like, use it offensively as, like, a tank, I guess. But I think there are better things that fit that same niche.
Fair enough. We should do like Pokemon Burn of the Week, where we just throw a Pokemon under the bus. This week, Charizard. Brought to you by our Mega.
Get out of the house, Aggron. Don't eat you.
You're no Alma Star, Aggron. All right. I think that wraps up our show. Before I forget, just because it's on my mind, you can find us on Scatter Radio, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and you can listen to us directly on the site. And starting in a week or so, we'll be on a new service. And I was just told that we are in the Windows Marketplace because they took all the podcasts in the Zune Marketplace and moved them into the Windows Marketplace.
Oh.
So if you have a Windows device, which might be like three of you, if you can find us in the Windows Marketplace and like tweet me a picture of what it looks like, or prove that this actually exists, because
it's just got some random picture of Steve from like high school. Like, how did they even get that?
Because when I emailed the guy today, he was like, "You already are in the Windows Marketplace," and I was like, okay, I never signed up for this. So if we are in the Windows Marketplace, I would love to have verification on that. Of course, I don't have any Windows devices near me in my vicinity.
In your zip code?
In my zip code, there are zero. Travis, where can they find you?
Twitter.com/TheTravisW, TurtleSeed.com/Travis.
And Will, where can they find you?
Well, are we seriously doing Turtle Seed? Because there I'm Will, WILL. And on the Twitter.com/WashInTheSink, WASHINTHESINK. And on the Facebook, just look for Will Anderson, and I'll friend you.
I'm sure there's only one of those.
Yeah, that's not a common name at all, Will.
Whatever, don't be gel.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter. It's @DraggingALake. You can follow me on Turtle Seed. It is turtleseed.com/SBJ. You can follow the show on Twitter. It's @PokemonPodcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PKMNcast. You can find us on YouTube. That's another way to listen to the show, guys. YouTube.com/PKMNcast that Travis was able to set up before we recorded today. we will be at the Midwest Gaming Classic this April. It's the start of April. I'll have more exact dates when I get to them. We will be having a little bit of exclusive merchandise there. I don't want to spoil what it is yet because it's cool. I mean, it's not cool. It's cool. It's kind of cool.
It's exclusivo, man.
The only word you need to care about here is exclusive. Ignore everything I just said. But we'll have some exclusive merch at Midwest Gaming Classic. I mean, nothing fancy. Probably not worth driving a million miles for, but... if you can make it, it would be, I would love to see you there. Travis would love to see you there.
I don't know. I can either go to C2E2 or MGC. My wallet's not that fat.
You probably want to go to NBC. Both. NBC okay. Would probably be the safer bet. I will, be speaking at C2E2, which is, 2 weeks after Midwest Gaming Classic. I'm doing a panel on Sunday called what you didn't know about Pokemon, and I will tell you guys how to correctly pronounce Pokemon names for an hour. No, I'm just kidding. But it should be a good time. We had about 200 people last year show up, and a really cool thing, at least I thought, is there's video of, you can listen, of course, to the C2E2 show on iTunes, or you can go to YouTube and see the video of the show. But at the end of the panel, I told the crowd that I thought that Charizard would have an evolution, and everyone laughed at me. And then a month later, Charizard has a mega evolution. So it was kind of funny that I got that right. I think that's just really interesting because that was a total guess on my part.
Yeah.
No insider information here because I talked to no one from Pokemon, and that sounded sarcastic, but it's true. I don't talk to anyone ever. So we'll be at C2E2 and Midwest Gaming Classic. More information to come as the weeks approach, but both are in April. Both are on Saturday and Sunday. I don't think I'm forgetting anything at all. I could be, but if I am... Oh, if we didn't do your user review, if you left us a user review on iTunes, that's because we didn't have time this episode, but we will do those next episode or the following. And check out our new site, and we've had like 3 articles this week, which is more than ever, and we plan to have more articles to come. So please comment or like the articles, share them. Commenting would probably be the best because it shows our writers that you care or you're listening, and our forums have been a little more active recently, so also check those out, pokemonpodcast.com/forums. Otherwise, thank you, Will.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, anytime.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
Super Grimly in his prime.